Today I'm going to talk about relationships. And in the Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, there are two verses that deal with relationships. Namely, how to exchange six loving relationships with devotees and how to do it appropriately according to the level of devotional service that the devotees have obtained. Krishna consciousness is developed in three stages. First, believing that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then becoming part of Krishna's family, and then becoming a pure devotee. That one cannot become a pure devotee unless one actually becomes part of Krishna's family. The spiritual world, which is our aim, the only thing that goes on there is transcendental relationships. There are no factories. There are no movies. And as I always say, the worst part, there's no Facebook. There's only transcendental loving relationships between the devotees, one and the other. And they're manifested in 24 hours, eternally. So for us to become eligible to go back to the spiritual world, we have to become expert in transcendental relationships. Of which Prabhupada defines that there are six. Tadati pratigrinati goyam akiti prishati puntebo jayate chaiva shadvidam pratilakshanam. Offering gifts in charity, accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence and inquiring confidentially, accepting prasad, and offering prasad. These are six loving exchanges shared by one devotee and another. Now, Prabhupada only, Srila Rupa Goswami, he mentions only six, but they're very broad. When he says give in charity, as Prabhupada says in the purport, it's not only just offering some gift in charity. Every time you see a devotee, one day you give him an iPhone, next day you give him an iPad, and that way you develop the loving exchanges. One of the rules of deity worship is that every time you see the deity, you should offer him something. The first temple I joined was in Buffalo. The whole building was about half the size of this room, including each floor. It was two floors. It was actually an abandoned railroad shack right next to the railroad track. And it was like that. The floor was caved in. It wasn't exactly a luxury hotel. In any case, we put the deities on a bookshelf, and eventually they built an altar for the deities, and it was right in the middle of the room, and there was an entrance, and every time you came in, you'd see the deities. And if you wanted to go upstairs, you saw the deities, and the kitchen was on the other side. So all day long, you were passing by the deities. And in those days, if we heard an instruction, we followed it. So the instruction was, every time you saw the deity, you should offer him something. So the only thing we could offer him was a grain of rice every time we saw him. So by the end of the day, all the devotees had, by the final accumulation of all the different grains of rice, we had a little mound of rice in front of the deities. Offer something. But also this offering, as Prabhupada writes in the purport, is offering the holy name, offering the opportunity to chant Hare Krishna, things in relation to devotional service, including, as it says, of course, prasadam. And revealing one's mind in confidence doesn't mean you tell people secrets. Did you hear about so-and-so? No, I don't believe it. Yeah, it's true. Oh, God, I thought it was going to happen. That's not what revealing the mind. Let me tell you, Prabhu, I want to be honest with you. I hate you. I got to reveal my mind in confidence to you. I hate these other people too. Don't tell anyone. No, it means to explain about our understanding, our realizations, our inspirations, our commitments in Krishna consciousness. This is what it means, that we reveal our mind in confidence. amongst the devotees. And they tell us their realizations, they tell us their inspirations, their commitments, etc. So in that way, these six loving exchanges are very broad, but they define how devotees interact with each other. Now in the next verse, Sri Rupa Goswami says, Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyaita dikshasti chat praniti bis chabajantam isham shushushaya chabajanam ananya anya indati sunya ridayam ipsita sangalabhya. That one should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name, that one should cooperate with. I guess this is the word cooperation used. That was the word that Prabhupada used to use sometimes, cooperate. One should offer humble obeisances to the devotees who have undergone spiritual initiation, diksha, and engage in worshiping the deity. One should associate with and faithfully serve that pure unalloyed devotee who's advanced in devotional and unalloyed devotional service, undeviated devotional service, and whose heart is devoid of the propensity to criticize others. In other words, there are uttama adhikar, there are uttama bhaktis, there are madhyama bhaktis, and there are kanishta bhaktis. And we have to learn how to exchange love, these six loving exchanges, with them appropriately. Now, there are also very broad categories, but Prabhupada here gives us very specific qualities of the uttama adhikari especially. The topmost uttama adhikari is the devotee who's realized that there's no difference between Krishna and his name. In other words, whenever the topmost devotee chants Hare Krishna, he experiences the presence of Krishna and Srimati Radharani directly. And one has realized his spiritual identity. Because if we experience Krishna directly, we'll also realize our own identity. Just like when the sun comes up, then automatically we see everything in the light of the sun, including ourselves. And one has no interest in this world except for expanding Krishna consciousness. So these are very exalted qualities, very exalted realization, and they cannot actually be imitated. They have to be possessed. The Madhyama Adhikari is more broad, and similarly the Kanishta Adhikari. For instance, Kanishta Adhikari probably mentions a couple of different kinds of Kanishta Adhikaris who are just on the threshold of beginning the process of bhakti. There's one class who are just trying to chant Hare Krishna. You know, the typical mantra, shnik shnik, ram ram, day 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 day, hey kitty kitty, hey kitty kitty. They're just trying to chant. And then there's a class of people who are sahajas, they dress up, for instance, as saki bakis. If you ever met a saki baki in India, they're men who dress up as women. Because nowadays it's quite common in the West. At that time they didn't have surgery to become gopis. Otherwise they probably would have had surgery changes to become a gopi. But there are classes of people in India who dress up as gopis, men who dress up as gopis. I remember when I was in India one time, some of the Saki Bakis came to the temple in Vrindavan. And during the kirtan, they start to roll on the ground. So one devotee told me, because when Prabhupada was there, that happened also. I believe when Prabhupada was president in Vrindavan, and the devotees asked Prabhupada, what should we do when they come in and they roll on the ground and they scream in ecstasy, supposedly ecstasy. So Prabhupada's advice was you should go up to them and kick them in the head. He said if they're actually in ecstasy, well, they won't notice it. But if they're not in ecstasy, they'll run out of the temple. So the Saki Bakis are known as part of the Sahajiya class of men, or women, whatever you want to. And they chant Hare Krishna. So they should be respected in the mind, but one should not intimately associate with them. Now there's another class of people who chant Hare Krishna, the Mayavadis, But they're actually not considered part of the devotional. They're actually considered as offenders. Namaparadas, especially when chants, thinking that one is God, that's the worst namaparad. In any case, there are devotees who are trying to become devotees, and they should be helped. And then we have the Madhyama Adhikari class. Madhyama means middle, and those who are worshipping the deities and have undergone spiritual initiation. They're trying to chant the holy name. Generally, there's Madhyama Adhikari, incarnates of faith, has at least accepted that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that our goal is to love him, not just to get things from him. That famous song we sing, Om Jai Jagadisha Hari, give me a house, give me a wife, give me a color TV, Om Jai Jagadisha Hari. So, that's the neophyte mentality. But the Madhyama Adhikari is, let me do some service to please Krishna. And they see the devotees as the object of friendship. And they see the innocent as objects of compassion. And they see the atheists, those who are offenders, as persons that one should avoid. Now in our society, because the society has changed from a temple society to a community society. And in the meantime, that change was not exactly, we could say, organic in one sense. Because at one time our society, ISKCON, was completely, or almost completely, temple-based. Even there were grihasthas. Often the grihasthas lived in the temple. Or if they lived outside, they lived quite near the temple. Like in Los Angeles, they bought all these buildings all around on the same block, and the grihasthas lived there. And they were all engaged, economically speaking, in doing service, either by book distribution or by working in spiritual sky incense or some kind of business that the temple had, the restaurant, etc., etc., or they worked on the farms. And everyone attended the programs. There's no question of not attending the program and at the same time living in the temple. And they had one authority system. There was not, everyone, to live in the temple mean you had to accept the authority of the temple president. And you didn't have to necessarily believe he was a pure devotee either to accept his authority. And if you didn't accept his authority, then as they used to say, my way or the highway. But generally speaking, devotees had faith that Prabhupada was actually leading the movement, and that if there was any major faults in the movement, that Prabhupada would correct them. And indeed, Prabhupada did have to step in a number of times to change the direction that parts of the movement were going in. In any case, as we all know after Prabhupada left, that we became more or less a community-based movement. And part of the reason for that is that the devotees in the temple, they left for different reasons. Maybe because of the problems that we had with some of our leaders in the movement, their fall downs, and therefore the devotees lost faith, and they left. And also, just naturally, devotees fall in love, and they get married, and they move out, and they live their own lives. In any case, what was more or less held intact for some time was the idea that we had to take instruction from higher authority. Now, Prabhupada, to a certain extent, he was a little bit replaced by our present authorities in ISKCON, and therefore it's not sometimes so clear exactly what Prabhupada said and what our authorities are saying, if they're exactly the same or whatever. One thing is that even when Prabhupada was here, Prabhupada was a little concerned whether his followers were reading his books or not. Most of them were engaged in a lot of book distribution, but not all of them were engaged in reading Prabhupada's books very carefully. If you look at it, sometimes we have this movies of Prabhupada. We show them during the week on in the evening, videos with Prabhupada. And you see Prabhupada giving a lecture, and then generally sometimes there's devotees standing in the back there. Now those devotees standing in the back are not guards. They're the ones who are falling asleep during the lecture. So if you fell asleep in Los Angeles, you're obliged to go to the back of the Vyasasan. Of course, you got your picture on, you became immortalized on the videos. In any case, most of the devotees who joined were scholars or engaged in active service. And if they came to class, most of them took it as an opportunity to get an extra hour of rest. Even Shruti Kirti Prabhu, who is Prabhupada's assistant, his servant, he mentioned that he was always tired because he would have to massage Prabhupada at night. And Prabhupada would, you know, until Prabhupada would fall asleep and then he'd stop. So that, sometimes that was quite late. And then he had to be up in the morning in order to go to Mangal Arati. So he was quite tired. So he learned the art of sitting in class with his eyes open and at the same time being asleep. Because he had to sit before Prabhupada, so he couldn't fall asleep like most of the other devotees were doing. He had to have his eyes open, but he learned the art of falling asleep even with his eyes open. In any case, the movement was run by mostly, not so much by knowledge, but by inspiration, especially by Prabhupada's presence, because Prabhupada brought the spiritual world with him wherever he went. And therefore, there was some faith that the process we were following, whatever it was would bring us back to Godhead. Now, when Prabhupada left, what we're missing is relationships amongst the devotees, especially devotees have, sometimes they're living far away from each other. Sometimes they live right next to each other and they never speak to each other. Sometimes devotees live next door and they don't even know the names of the devotees who are living next to them. But that's Kali Yuga. So to establish loving relationships between equals is sometimes very difficult. And if we don't follow the instructions of the higher authorities, we don't understand exactly what they want from us. For instance, there was some conception in ISKCON, maybe not in Slovenia, but in ISKCON, that if you simply take initiation from your bona fide guru in ISKCON, then he takes all your sinful reactions away from you. And therefore you're going to go back to Godhead. At the end of life, the Vaikuntha airplane pulls up, looks, sees if you have initiation papers and say, hop on board. You don't have the papers? What happened? I lost them, sorry. Go find your papers and call us back when you got them. But I've been chanting 16 rounds every day for my whole entire... Sorry. I can see you still have your store of sinful reactions. No one took them. Come back next life of Brahma. So there's some conception that we don't really have to follow the principles so carefully. It's all mercy, Prabhu. From him, ecstatic premonition emanates. By him, ignorance is destroyed. Of course, if that was true, then we all would have been back to Godhead by now, because in our last lifetime, we probably had a merciful spiritual master too. But he wasn't so merciful, so we're still here. Therefore, spiritual life is not just taking initiation, having one's sinful reactions dissipated or eliminated, whatever. It means to be practically engaged in Krishna's service in order to become conscious of Krishna. To come to the platform of relationships, not just with Krishna, because that's called Kanista Adhikari. That Kanista Adhikari, what is that verse from... Srimad Bhagavatam about Kanista Adhikari. We have the right source here. Archam eva hariye, pujam yakshara yo pete, nachanyan chesh chabak, the tadbak keshu chanyeshu said bhakta prakrita smritaha. Yes, we have a relation with Krishna. Everyone has a relation with Krishna. But we have to have a relation with the devotees also. These three different levels of devotees. In order to have our devotional service effectively empowered to bring us to Krishna consciousness. Because we're being prepared to go back to the spiritual world. And the spiritual world, these three types of relationships exist there. Eternally. It's not just a thing we do here. And then we go back to the spiritual world and we're all, you know, just floating in the air because we're pure devotees. No, we have our superiors, we have our equals in the spiritual world, and we also have the ones we show mercy to eternally. So the first kind of relationship is people who lead by example. Now, Prabhupada is our standard, and those who follow Prabhupada are also our standard. That if someone manifests the qualities of Prabhupada and his example and his instructions before us, that's as good as Prabhupada. That's called the simple succession. That they also have to become our leaders. If they're not our leaders, then we'll be cheated. Because we have to follow someone. It's not that we live in a void. As a matter of fact, we're here in the material world because we have had unlimited numbers of leaders we've had since time immemorial. And that's manifested itself in our current situation. So to choose one leader or leaders who are all coming from Krishna and follow them means that we make advancement towards Krishna. If everyone's walking towards Krishna and we follow them, then eventually we'll get to Krishna when they get there too. Shri Prabhupada said, if you want to find Narada Muni, just look for his footprints, and if you follow them, then eventually you'll find Narada Muni. So our movement is not just Shri Prabhupada, but it's all his family who's going towards Krishna, and we follow them to Krishna. So that's someone who's an example, a model of Krishna's service, Krishna's instructions, and we follow them. Now the second type of relationship is with equals. Now that's probably a little, even more difficult in one sense, but they're all difficult. Peers. Someone you're walking side by side with. Someone who loves you but is not impressed by you. Generally, if people love us but they're not impressed by us, we're not impressed by them either. We're impressed by people who are impressed by us. Someone who's not afraid to speak the truth to you. Now, in our society, many of the devotees, all of us, have become hypersensitive to criticism. We think anyone who tells us something's wrong with us, there must be something wrong with them. Prabhu, you're not supposed to criticize pure devotees. But that way we never find out what's wrong with us because we think the only thing wrong with us is that people don't realize that there's nothing wrong with us. The only thing we think is wrong with others, or we think there's nothing wrong with me, the only thing wrong is that people don't see that there's nothing wrong with me. And if anyone criticizes us, then we think they're an offender to a pure devotee. But we need people to actually be honest with us. Now, if we were a pure devotee, we wouldn't be in the bodily concept of life, we'd be in the spiritual world engaged in the pastimes of Krishna. But I'd say that, at least I could say, I'm not in the spiritual world right now engaged in pastimes with Krishna. I'm here in Ljubljana giving a lecture about the process of how we can actually get to play with Krishna sometime. So we need people to tell us what's wrong with us, because if we think there's nothing wrong with us, that's a major thing that's wrong with us. In the spiritual world, everyone is absolutely humble. They think they're all unworthy to serve Krishna. They're aspiring to become servants of Krishna as devotees. And here we're thinking people should be aspiring to become my devotee. That's the difference between the spiritual world and here. So we need people to tell us the truth, not in a brash way, in a harsh way, but in an honest way to help us advance in Krishna consciousness. And someone who will support and who will hold you accountable to the commitments that you make. Not that I promise to do this and I don't do that, so what are you going to do about it, Prabhu? Look, you don't do everything you promise to do either. No, someone who's actually hold us accountable for what we're committed to. Who actually believes that we're actually honest people and that we should be honest in our endeavors in Krishna consciousness too. And someone who supports and encourages us also. If we don't have a relationship of honest people, then we won't get honest encouragement either. We won't get honest support. And someone who we can explain our realizations, our aspirations, our inspirations to, and bounce off ideas with. Actually, real friends. So, we have to organize for that, because it doesn't come easy. Most of us don't have enough intelligence to figure out how to establish such relationships, so it has to be organized so that those relationships can develop. I'm just talking from, because we have our Guru Services Committee, of which I'm leading that, and one thing is that we've been discussing how we can have our gurus, because when you become a guru, in ISKCON especially, then it's lonely at the top sometimes. Because you have all these devotees who think you're absolute, and you're always right for them. And after a while, if you have 10 people who tell you you're always right, or 100 people who tell you always, you start thinking, hey, I must be right. And you know, you're so much engaged in serving your disciples, you don't have time for anything else. You're insulated, isolated, something-lated. And so it's very difficult to get constructive criticism, whatever else. All these things I was mentioning about personal relationships on the second level appears. So in Alashua, for instance, there's one devotee, Kalakanta, and the members of the Guru Service Committee were all friends. So he was telling us that he's been part of a men's group that met regularly for the last 30 years. So we have to find out from him how they meet, why they meet, how they do it, and see how that can be part of a program. Because it's very difficult. We need guidance how to do most things, including relationships. And so we have to develop that, just like we have to develop how to actually understand how Prabhupada is our leader, how to apply that within our loving relationships. Because Prabhupada was a leader, especially because our example and our model, not only because he knew so much, not only because he was an expert cook, an expert musician, expert in so many things, but the thing he was most expert was loving relationships with the devotees and with the non-devotees and how to preach Krishna consciousness. So that has to be organized. And the relation, the last one for the youngers, we need someone to pour our Krishna consciousness into. That not that we just come collecting experience, collecting knowledge, collecting so many things, but we have no one to give it to. We have to have someone who's subordinate to us, who actually becomes receptive, so that we can pour our Krishna consciousness into. Someone who can reveal to us their aspirations, their inspirations, their dreams, their hopes. Someone who we can actually guide towards at least the level of Krishna consciousness that we've obtained. Someone we can give something to that we've gotten, that we just hold on to it to ourselves. We give it to others. That's why even book distribution is so nice, because by book distribution, you can feel how pleased Krishna is when we give transcendental knowledge to others. Now we're doing nothing but selling them a book. If you go out and sell things on the street, Krishna doesn't necessarily give you his mercy. But when you give transcendental knowledge to even innocent people who don't know anything about Krishna, you can see how merciful Krishna is, how one becomes enlivened and enlightened in Krishna consciousness. So these three exchanges are necessary for all of us. It's not an option if we want to go back to the spiritual world. We can't go back there and we can't figure out who's our superior. Srimati Radharani comes and asks us to do something. You say, who are you to tell me what to do? All right, but maybe my assistant say, hey, I don't listen to anyone else except for the top, Krishna. And can you help? And someone comes, can you help me? What do you mean, help? Are you going to surrender to me? I'm surrendered to Krishna. Who's this Krishna guy? No, it's not going to be very pleasant to go back to the spiritual world unless we're trained up in these three levels of relationships and we're prepared to exchange them with all the devotees in the spiritual world appropriately. So that's our main training here. Not only how to cook or how to sing or how to sell, it's how to develop loving relationships appropriately with three different levels of devotees. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I was thinking, like, especially about this when they are like peers, like the, on this level, when revealing our mind in confidence. If one devotee has some difficulties in spiritual life, is appropriate to share with the other devotee because not so much to trouble him, or is this appropriate?
Well, we have to develop relationships where it becomes appropriate. It's not that every devotee is necessarily we have the proper relationship that we can reveal our mind in confidence. Even in small groups, generally speaking, there has to be some kind of criteria how to interact. And one of them always has to be confidentiality. Not that I tell someone something one day about our problems, the next day everyone on the internet reads about them. They become the conversation in morning prasad. No, we have to have the appropriate etiquette, the appropriate rules and regulations, how we interact with devotees, so that we're confident that it'll be productive. That it won't just be a scandal, and that it'll be actually productive in my advancement in Krishna consciousness, and the devotee will also be benefited. Just like Sukadeva Goswami went back to Godhead, because he spoke to Pariksha Maharaj. He gave him instructions. So these things have to be intelligently arranged. Anything else? Kala Grantharaj Nectar of Instruction Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande. What's that? Okay, one last question. Who had a question? Sundagopa. No, go ahead. Is Arti ready yet?
I'm asking this with attention to get like some inspiration. I'm wondering, these relationships, are they happening also on your level, so between your god brothers and gurus, sannyasis?
Is it happening?
These three kinds of relationships also.
Oh, I'm sure to some extent or another it's happening amongst different devotees. It's not very well, it's not generally talked about or well organized, but it's happening. It's always happening. We can't avoid it. It's not that someone, one of my godbrothers walks up to me and say, oh, you're my godbrother. No, there's always interactions. It's just not so systematic, that's all. It's not so clear how to do them expertly. So we have to develop that. It's eternally, even the spiritual world, they're developing it. It's always eternally developed. But we have to, here on our platform, because we have a tendency not to understand it, we have to make a special effort to develop them. Okay. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.